Hey, Arliss, can you mute me for a second? Mute.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Did y'all all set your alarm forward an hour? I guess since you're here, you did. Are y'all? No, I'm. If you sleep during the sermon, I'm going to call you out. I'm just saying. I'm going to be watching. So you know, last Wednesday was Ash Wednesday, and several of you were at the Ash Wednesday service, and if you didn't make it, that's okay, but kind of just a recap that Ash Wednesday is the 40, or Lent, it's the beginning of Lent, it's the 40 days between Ash Wednesday and Easter, and it's this time of preparation where we are preparing to celebrate on Easter. And it reminds me of Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness seeking the heart of his Heavenly Father. And so that's really the essence of this Lenten season, is seeking the heart of God. And so let's if you haven't already started that, let's start it today, right now. Can we do that, seeking God's heart for us? Let's invite him this morning. Father, we do seek you. We seek you because you love us, and we love you back. Would you send your Holy Spirit into this place? Would your the name that is above every name be high and exalted? Stir our hearts today, God. Surprise us with your presence. We pray it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Rise if you're able. Let's worship.
Hey!
So good morning. First off, y'all have it a little easier, but I mean, it is still daylight savings. I told early service, I was like, you're either really a morning person and it shows on daylight savings, or you're not and it really shows. There's really no in between. But with that, regardless of whether you're a morning person or an evening person, we can all thank God for the breath in our lungs. We can all thank God for another sunrise. And we can all thank God to be in this place worshiping together. So let's continue to do that. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for those who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and be seated. Children, if you'll come forward.
Everybody awake this morning?
No.
No? That's all right. Yeah. Did everybody get enough sleep last night?
I did.
You did?
I didn't hear the rain.
Did you not hear the rain? Yeah, I was surprised when I got up this morning it had been raining. Yeah, but it's good that everybody's here today. Are y'all excited to be here?
Yes.
Yeah. So everybody got a fun spring breaks planned, doing some fun things?
Yeah.
I know. We're excited about
swimming.
Swimming? I don't know swimming. You're
swimming
either way. Okay. Oh, you are? Okay. So I was thinking about what we were. Yes? You're going to go to the beach? Oh, no, there you can go swimming at the beach. I bet it's warmer there. Hey, guys. All right. Well, good. So this week I was thinking about my favorite verse. Do y'all have a favorite Bible verse that you know?
I do.
You do? What is it? John what? Is it John 3:16? Yes. Okay. That's my favorite verse. It's John 3:16. I learned that when I was about 4 years old. And it's just always my favorite verse. It's one I go to when I just really am not sure about things. I just go back to it and I think about it. And it says, "For God so loved the world." Do you know what that verse tells me? That God loves me. God loves you. God loves
everyone.
The world, right? He didn't say, for God so loved the world that I just love. A little bit. Texas. Okay. All right. Texas, absolutely. Well, we definitely says God loves Texas, so we're good. That is so true. You are right. So, but God, for God so loved the world. And so I got to thinking, you know, when it says that, that's a big love, isn't it? God's love is so big. So, do you think we can measure God's love? No, you don't think we can? Do you think we can measure God's love? Maybe. Okay. So, this morning I have several things with us that maybe they'll help us know, maybe measure God's love. Okay? So, the first thing I have with me are, do you know what these are? Measuring cups. Okay, do you know what they're used for?
Measuring.
For what?
Cooking.
Good, very good, because I don't know. I haven't used these in a while, so I'm not really sure.
Making muffins.
Making muffins, yes. I don't do a lot of cooking at my house, so yeah. So I know. Isn't that sad? I know. But they're good. I've had these for a long time, so as you can tell. So yeah. So they're measuring, because we do need to make it. If we're making a cake, we need to measure the flour and the sugar, and we need to have the right amounts, right? So we want to have maybe a cup or a half a cup, whatever it is. So do you think you could use these to measure God's love? No? You think God's love will fit into this cup?
No?
Is that all the God's love? No, that's right. And it says in the Bible, it tells us, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. My cup runneth over. So God's love just keeps filling up, and it just runs over and over and over. So this cup won't measure God's love, will it? Any of these cups will not measure God's love. And that's a good thing, isn't it? Because we want God's love. Yes, that's right. So if you're building something, what are you used to measure with? A tape measure. That's right. Do y'all like tape measures?
No.
You have one at your house? Huh? They can hurt you if they come back, and you know that's why I have to be really careful. And then you can use a ruler to measure with, right?
Ruler.
Yeah. So these things measure how long, how wide, and how high something is, right? I know it's kind of. I know it's just not working the right way. So, do you think we can measure God's love?
No.
Do you know how big and how wide and how long God's love is?
No.
Do what? It says, the Bible tells us that God's love is higher than the heavens. Do you think my tape measures will go to the heavens?
No.
No, I don't think so at all. So can we use these to measure God's love?
No,
we can't. That's right.
You can't.
Well, they will hurt you if you let it come back and get on your finger, right? Yeah. Okay, so what about this? You know what you can? A watch. What does the watch measure?
It measures time.
Do we need to know what time it is?
Yes.
Why do we need to know what time it is?
If you're baking,
you need to know how long to cook something. And if you're what?
If you do not want to
be late. Right. You need to know to be on time. Right?
On
time to church. That's right. We need to be on time. So we have our watches that tells us what time it is. Right? So do you know God gives us a day? God gives us one day. Each day, he gives us each day, right? Do you know how many hours in one day? 24 hours in one day. So every day has 24 hours. We all have the same amount of time, right? Yeah. So is time important?
Yeah.
Do we need to fill up our time with things?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sometimes. But so what else can we measure time with? What about a calendar?
Yeah,
because we need to know what day it is. Because if we didn't know it was Sunday, how would we know to come to church? Right? So a calendar is important, right? So we need, time is important to know when to get somewhere, what day of the week it is. That's right. So can we measure God's love by a watch or a calendar?
No,
that's right. It says, the Bible also tells us that God's love is everlasting to everlasting. It's from the very beginning to the very end. Do we know when the end's coming?
No.
So we can't put a time on there, can we? No, we can't. So we don't know. So it goes forever. God's love is today, tomorrow, and next week. Is God's love big?
Yep.
Is it bigger than we can measure?
Yes,
it is. And it says, for John 3:16, the whole verse says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So how do we measure that love? Do you know? We can't, can we? No. But can we trust God's word? Because God's word tells us how big God's love is. Right? It tells us that God's love is everlasting to everlasting. And we can trust that God is always with us and watching over us. And wherever we go, he is with us. And he'll be with us today, tomorrow, and next week. So God's love is so big. Put your arms out. How big can you reach? Is God's love bigger than that? Yes, it is. Yeah, or that big all the way back? Yeah, God's love is bigger than that. And God's love is so amazing that he loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus for each one of us. Isn't that amazing love for us? Yeah. All right, let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that your love is everlasting and that you love us more than anything that we can ever understand. But we know your word tells us your love is forever. And we can trust you and know that you are with us always and that love will go day to day to day, moment by moment, Lord, and that you are with us. Thank you for these boys and girls, and just bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you ready? Okay. All right.
You got to love kids. Well, good morning. Good to see everybody on this time change Sunday morning. You know, I mentioned last week I was praying for Jesus to come back during the week, and either he didn't or we're all in trouble, one of the two. So. Well, good to see you this morning. Good to have you worshiping with us online. If you can... Stan, let's go ahead and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. If you're not aware, the church office is closed this week for spring break. Thank you, Jeff. And there won't be any Monday prayer time, no Tuesday Bible studies, or Wednesday night activities this week. Ray Mason, why don't you go ahead and make your way up here, please. Ray has some thoughts he'd like to share about our church, about the future growth of our church, and the capital fund drive. So Ray, it's yours.
Morning, church. I wanted to do that. Morning, church. About 5 years ago, Irene's the singer. I can't sing. Anyway, 5 years ago, we moved to this little town of Abilene. I was so excited because my folks grew up here. I went to college. I even graduated from McMurray. Woohoo! Anyway, we did like so many people do when they move somewhere, shop around for a church. And we went to one or two or three or four churches before. One day, Irene walked in and said, "Guess what? There is a big Methodist church on Atlee Street." "On what street?" "Call it Antilly." "No, it's Antilly Street." "Okay. Got a Methodist church. Let's go." I said, "Okay." So we came. We stayed. Amen. When we got here, we were welcomed so beautifully. And when we left, we were welcomed to come back. The preacher did a pretty daggum good job. We love you, preacher. Did a super good job. We got in the car, and Irene looked at me. She said, "You know what? I liked it." And I said, "Well, I did too." Guess what? You've got us. We've been here now nearly 5 years going on. Anyway, we ended up going to Richard and Kit and Arthur's class, Sunday school class. Well, after a while, she said, we got to move. They are out of room for the class down here that's gotten too big. So we moved to another room. Well, it wasn't very much longer. She said, well, there's another class group. We're going to have to move. So we moved about 3 times. That means the church is growing.
Amen.
We now next door, and we ain't going to have to move again. That's one big classroom. It's so exciting to see the church grow the way this one is growing. I'm excited. Pastor excited. Billy's excited. Sometimes he may not act like it. But I love Billy. Anyway.
I got the last word.
Yes, you do. But we are in a big classroom. Anyway, church leaders have decided it's time to do something. And have you seen this? Oh, my goodness. This is a huge, beautiful Methodist church. Guess what? We're going to need help. And that comes from all of us. Financially, prayers, cutting weeds once in a while, maybe. Who knows? But we need something a little larger. And the pastor will always be available to answer any questions you might have about the church. Billy will be here like he's ready. I love you guys. You know that. They will be able to answer questions that you may have about what the plans may be for a new church building. I am excited about it. And I know that a lot of people I've talked to are excited about the growth. The kids can have this divided up and make classrooms, and we won't have to move again. It's going to be good. And our gentlemen here and here, the preacher and all, are going to be available to answer your questions. We're going to have a nice big auditorium, one that can seat all of us, morning, evening, night, daytime, holidays. Yeah, it's going to cost a little money. And everything else does too. It takes a commitment. It takes commitment on our part, your part, my part, Pastor Billy, all of us. Going to take a commitment, take our prayers, take our blessings. Yeah, I might volunteer, I don't know, for cutting the weeds, maybe. It's here on us, people. I am excited about it. I hope you get excited about it. Thank God for answered prayers and blessings. We're going to grow. We're going to grow more. Bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick.
You know, Jesus loves us just like we are. And we're commanded to do the same. Ray, I do love you, by the way. I do. God bless you and Irene. So precious to us and more so precious to the Lord. So let me pray for us real quickly. Father, thank you for, I just thank you for a spiritual family. Such a precious family. precious gift to us. And Father, as this family continues to grow, Lord, we just need you to move and do some things that only you can do. And so, Father, we're trusting you to make provision for us individually and provision for us corporately. And I'm looking forward to see how you pull this off. Nothing's impossible for you. So thank you for this time. Thank you for the way you love us. Thank you for the way you love people. And God, would you just bring the people that need Jesus and allow us to love on them on his behalf. We pray the prayer that you taught your Jesus, you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Remind you, you can give electronically or you can give through the offering boxes by the doors. We'll have several people available for prayer after the service. Mike Matthews and Larry Young are going to be available. You can reach out to me, catch somebody that you feel comfortable with, and let's let the Lord do his business in our hearts this morning. Let's continue to worship.
No place to be.
Good morning again, church. Glad you're with us this morning. Got up an hour early, and you made it. We're here. If you are a guest this morning, we're especially glad you're here. Hope you feel the love of God's people and the Holy Spirit in this place. That's what we shoot for every week. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe, and it says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out if you're our guest, and would love to meet you. I'll be down at this end of the foyer, have a free gift for our guest. Would love to meet you and get to know you a little bit. Turn with me to John chapter 10. I was telling early service that all of God's Word is inspired by the Holy Spirit, written by man, inspired by the Holy Spirit, but there's just something extra special about the red letters, yes? Love it when we read exactly what our Savior said. John chapter 10, so these are the words of Christ, beginning in verse 14. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. He's speaking of us, the Gentiles. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited you and we trust you're here. We need to hear from you. Would you speak to our hearts in Jesus' name and transform us in Jesus' name? Amen. So I'm whipping out these old movies on you. Anybody seen March of the Penguins? Okay, so you got Gone with the Wind and March of the Penguins. It's right there. Now, I know it's kind of a documentary kind of thing, but I love watching these different documentaries where they're teaching us about different creatures and how they survive and so on. So March of the Penguins came out a few years ago, and the basic premise of this is it's following these emperor penguins that live in Antarctica, and it's talking about how they survive, how they breed, and how they survive and through the harsh winters of that country and so forth. And so just in a nutshell, what happens, a male and a female, they bond for life, okay? So there's kind of the husband and wife emperor penguins. Now, the mother gives, she lays a fertilized egg, and they're kind of like me. They have this roll of fat right here, and it's kind of fur, and they when they have the egg, they kind of put that, they have these little feet, and they put the egg on top of these feet that keeps it off the snow, and then they put that roll of fat and fur and kind of cover it up, and that's how they protect this egg. Well, the female lays the egg, and then she passes it over to the male, and he protects it, and she takes off on around a 4-month journey over 70 miles, and you'll see in just a second how fast they walk, and over all sorts of terrain and through the snow and blizzards and all that, and she takes a 4-month, over 70-mile trek to fatten her up. She goes to the ocean and she feeds and she fattens up and she makes her way back. The whole time that she's gone, the male is protecting this egg, it is now hatched, and so now he same technique, he's keeping this chick now alive by setting him on his feet and covering him up. And after 4 months, the female comes home. Roll that video.
To find each other in the enormous crowd, the penguins must rely on sound, not sight. As they circle, the returning mothers trumpet loudly and wait for their mates to call back. The sound is deafening, and yet somehow each of them will hear their mate's song.
Okay, we've lost me too. Did I just talk loud, Artis?
The couple has found one another.
Nope.
The mother sees her chick for the first time.
Nope.
And at last, the family is together.
It's coming out in the cry room. Something's... All right, everybody on three, we're going to all move to the cry room. You think we could fit? All right, I'm going to move on. Y'all stay with me here. So, you didn't get to see the video, but basically, you saw thousands of the penguins, right? And somehow when the female comes back to this thousands of other penguins, they begin to put out some sort of a sound, and they end up, the male and the female find each other just through the sound. It is amazing that they hear the voice of their mate. Have you ever heard someone say, can y'all hear me, by the way? Can you hear me in the back? I knew being a loudmouth when I was growing up. You didn't know that I was gonna pay off someday. Okay, so have you ever heard someone say, the Lord told me to do something or other, or I heard the Lord say such and such? Well, is that an audible voice? I believe in some cases it could be. I have never heard the Lord speak audibly to me, but I could give you many instances where I knew very clearly what the Lord was telling me to do. So how do we do that? I mean, how do we hear from the Lord when we maybe are not hearing an audible voice? So today's message is hearing the shepherd's voice. So that question, how do we recognize when God is speaking to us and what he's saying? So we're going to just unpack that a little bit. The first is, we hear and discern God's voice when we minimize distractions. I would at this point say, is this on? But it's not. Sorry, that was bad. So, when we minimize distractions. So I was thinking about that. The Lord's six, his Ten Commandments that he's given us, and you can find it in Deuteronomy, you can also find it in Exodus. One of the Ten Commandments is that we should have no other gods before me. And so I want us to think about that for a second. My opinion is anything that takes the place of God is an idol in our life. It can even be good things if they begin to take over God's place in our life. They become an idol and also a distraction. So some examples that I came up with, this is certainly not an all-inclusive list, but some examples of how some things that can distract us from hearing God's voice. The first one that comes to mind is the TV. And by the way, it's possible to preach to yourself and let others listen. Did you know that? That is a possibility. The TV can become a distraction from hearing God's voice. The cell phone, these little things that we carry around in our pockets, can become an idol, can become a distraction from hearing God's voice. Social media, excessive work. Now, when I use that word excessive, meaning that work is good. It's good to take your job seriously. It's good to do a good job. But whenever work becomes all-consuming, and that's pretty much consumes our whole life and takes the place of God in our life, it's certainly a distraction and even becomes an idol. Excessive hobbies. Hobbies can be good as well. It's good for us to have things in our life that de-stress us. But if a hobby or an interest begins to elevate itself above God, it becomes an idol and it also becomes a distraction. So if we want to hear, and those are just a few of the things that we can have that can be distractions for us, to hear and discern God's voice, we need to minimize those distractions in our life. Secondly, to hear and discern God's voice, we need to lean into the shepherd. Lean into the shepherd. Now, so what I mean by leaning in, a few years ago I was on a Christian retreat, and I think it's working now, Arliss. Hello. Is this thing on? Okay. It's on. Okay. I can quit shouting now. Okay. You might pull me down just a little bit there, Arliss. I think I don't want to bust anybody's eardrum. I don't want to be a distraction to anyone. So a few years ago, I was on a Christian retreat, and when I got to know a guy a little bit on the retreat, and when he worked in he sold hearing aids. And when towards the end of the retreat, he said, "You ever thought about getting your ears checked, your hearing checked?" I was like, "No, I never done that. What? Why?" He said, "You might need some hearing aids." And I said, "We hadn't even talked about that." I said, immediately I'm thinking he's just trying to sell me some hearing. I said, "Why do you say that?" Because he said, "I've been watching you this weekend, and when we're at lunch or whatever, and there's some activity going on, people are talking around your table. Here's what you do. Somebody talks, and you lean in, trying to hear what they're saying." So, he said, "That's a sign you're not hearing well." That's what we need to do with the Lord. We need to quieten those distractions in our lives and lean in when he's speaking. Lean into him. God, it says in God's word that God rewards those who earnestly seek him. When we press in, when we lean into God, when we earnestly seek him, that there will be a payoff to that when we're listening to the Lord. So I guess the question would be, so how do we lean in to the Lord? What does that mean, and what does it look like? I've just listed a few things here that I think can help us in that area. First is prayer and meditation. Now, meditation, it's kind of gotten hijacked in this culture kind of new agey kind of a word, but that's not what I'm talking about at all. Meditation meaning just be quiet and listen to the Lord. Prayer, which too many times we see prayer as our list. We're going to give God our laundry list of the things that we need and we desire, but prayer is so much more than that. Prayer is also maybe even more so listening, pressing in, leaning in to the Lord, listening. I've shared this before, but if I go on an out-of-town trip and I'm by myself, that's kind of a great opportunity for me. I'll listen, and which is one of my things, is listening to Christian music is another way to lean into the Lord. But I'll listen to some Christian music and kind of get centers me. And then many times I'll just turn off the radio for an hour or so on a trip, and I'll just say, Lord, I'm here. I'm here. What do you have to say to me? What do you want me to hear from you? So some ways we lean into the Lord: prayer, meditation, listening to Christian music. Now, did you know that music is powerful? Did you know that the enemy uses music as well? So I just, you know, back in the day, and I'm not, I know many of you like country music. I'm not slamming, because I still like country music as well. But man, some of it, it's just like, man. I mean, really, all genres of music, there's good and there's bad. But Christian music, there's Christian country, there's Christian contemporary Christian, there's hymns, whatever style you like. There's even Christian rap, which, by the way, I absolutely despise rap. And it's just, I just don't like the sound, but I know many young people like that. There's Christian rap, and it's not, you know, filled with a bunch of junk. So we can lean in through prayer, meditation, Christian music, through worship. Coming here, I encourage you, and those of you worshiping at home, this is not I'm not calling you out or anything, but the live stream is for when we can't be here through either medical or we're out of town or whatever. That's really what we're hoping that will meet that need. But to some of you who've been sick or something and have been doing the live stream, and then they come to church after when they can, I hear so many times, man, it's just good to be here. It's good to be in God's house with God's people. So I encourage us all. Yes, I've been out of town before, and I've listened to the live stream, and it's good, and I'm glad we have it. But don't rely on that, man. We need to be in community of worship together. It's important. That's one of the ways we lean into the shepherd. Christian fellowship. I don't know about y'all needing me, but I need y'all. And many times, I say this all the time when there's some sort of a tragedy in someone's life. Say, how do people make it that don't have the Lord and don't have fellow believers to come alongside them? How do you get through those things? And then lastly, and maybe even more, most importantly, how do we lean into the Lord? We read His Word. We read His Word. There's a scripture, Psalm 119 says, "Your Word, O Lord, Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Now, I think about my camping and backpacking days, and sometimes when you're out in the wilderness and there's no street lights or whatever, I mean, it's dark, and you have to go outside for whatever reason. You have to go outside and walk around a little bit, and you have a lantern. You can have a lantern, and it gives you a perimeter around you, probably whatever, 3 feet or whatever around you, and it basically is enough for that next step. And then you have to, the lantern goes with you, and then you take the next step. And that's where faith, in spiritually, that's where faith kicks in. God generally doesn't, it's not like, He's not like a spotlight that is going to map out, here's how the next 20 years is going to go for you. But I promise you, the Lord will tell you what he wants you to do next. And then when you get there, he'll tell you, if you're listening, he'll tell you what he wants you to do next. His word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So I encourage you to get into the word. Just some kind of bullet points here that I want to real quickly hit. The first is that I believe busyness, when we talk about eliminating distractions, it probably ties more in that area. But busyness is, I believe, one of the devil's primary weapons against us. If he can keep us so busy that we don't have time to be still, be quiet, and listen for the shepherd's voice, then he's won. Also, another bullet point, desperation can facilitate hearing God's voice. I've found this in my own life that through the smooth times of life, we have a tendency, and maybe you don't, I do, you have a tendency to relax with your relationship with the Lord and maybe not really pressing in and leaning into him quite the same you do when there's trauma in your life, when things are not going well, or you're fearful about something or whatever. We have a tendency through that desperation, it can facilitate hearing God's voice, that leaning in to him. And then another kind of a bullet before I hit the third point here is divine silence does not necessarily mean divine inactivity. Now that, I think we need a t-shirt with that. What do you think? Think about that for a second. Divine silence does not necessarily mean divine inactivity, meaning just because you're not hearing at that moment a very direct message from the Lord does not mean he's not at work. He's at work, and I've used this example, but during our Cheryl and I's transition from the computer career to ministry, there was that year and a half or so there where, man, there was times it's like, okay, Lord, here I am. And the Lord was going, is this thing on? No, I'm just kidding. But I wasn't hearing what he wanted me to do. But yet the Lord was at work. Even when I was not hearing something very specific about a voice in for his direction in my life, he was at work, and it was all a timing issue. So we can hear and discern God's voice when we minimize distractions, when we lean into the shepherd. And then finally, we hear and discern God's voice when we follow through. When we follow through. This verse 27 today, Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice. There it is. I know them, and here's the big takeaway, and they follow me. They don't hear his voice. His sheep don't just hear his voice and go, oh, that's nice, Lord. They follow him. They're seeking his sheep. They're seeking his will, his word, his will and his path for their life. And then when they hear from him, they do it. They respond. James, in the book of James, James puts it this way. Don't merely listen to the word. Do what it says. if we're pressing into the Lord and he prompts us, it's like, I have never heard an audible voice from the Lord. Some of you may have, and I believe God still does that stuff. But I have many times in my life, I have heard very specifically in my spirit to do or not do something. I've told this story years ago when it happened, and then I shared it with our community group a couple of weeks ago. But a few years ago, I was driving down Antley Road. It's Antley, by the way, Ray. It's not Antilly, but Antley Road, and down past the high school. And I was going somewhere up by the mall, and I saw a lady walking down the road, an African-American lady, and just taking a walk on the side of the road. And as I passed her, I felt in my spirit very strongly, I want you to stop and pray for that lady. And being, y'all know this, being the spiritual giant that I am, I kept driving. And I I got to Buffalo Gap Road and I took a left and I'm headed to my destination and I'm almost to the mall. And I'm just, man, God would not let up. I mean, I told you I wanted you to pray for that lady. Why are you not listening to me? And I was just like, okay, you ever done that? Okay, Lord, okay. So I turned around on Buffalo Gap Road, and I'm heading back, and I'm thinking, this lady could be in her home by now. I don't know her. I'm thinking all this stuff. And I see her. She's still walking down the road, and I pull up behind her, and I get out of my truck, and I'm running up to her so I can catch her because she's walking away from me. She probably thinks I'm going to mug her or something. I don't know. And I walk up to her, and I say, ma'am, ma'am, and I'm hollering at her, and she stops. And I introduced myself, and I said, I know this is going to sound really crazy, but the Lord prompted me that I'm supposed to pray for you. And she was like, oh, she was so sweet. Oh, that is so nice, you know. And I said, is there something specifically I can pray for you about? And she said, no, just a prayer. That would be nice. And so, okay, so we're talking just a second, and I'm getting ready to pray, and all of a sudden, tears start welling up in her eyes. And she just started crying. And she said, oh, honestly, I am struggling. She didn't go into detail. She just said, I'm struggling in my life right now. I've got a lot of things going on. And I said, well, I think the Lord knows that, and he wants you to know he hasn't forgotten you because he prompted me to come pray for you. So I prayed with her. I had no idea what was going on in her life. And we hugged. Poor lady. We hugged and she went on about her way and I went and did my thing. And about a week or so later, I found out she actually was the sister of a good friend of mine. And I had no idea who she was. And her friend, this friend of mine, was telling someone else, your pastor, Pastor Jeff, stopped and prayed with my sister last week. And just, man, when God, you just don't know what's going on with people. You don't know why God would ask you to do something. But Jesus said, my sheep not only hear my voice, but they follow me. They do what I'm telling them to do. I want to play you another short little video, and then we'll close.
One more time.
Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. You know, what's interesting is the sheep, his sheep, we also know when it's not his voice. If we're really his sheep and we're really seeking him, I want you to invite you to just close your eyes as I close. Father, we are your sheep. We thank you that you have laid down your life for your sheep, for us. That no one took it from you. You tell us very clearly you have the power to lay it down. You have the power and the authority to take it up again. And we are blown away that you would love us that much. You have purchased our eternity. And we seek you. We lean in. We press in to you. Teach us to hear and teach us to respond. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to rise as we close if you are able. You know, the first thing to hearing the shepherd's voice is we got to be his sheep. If you're not certain that you're his sheep, come and visit with me. Leave this place without doing that.
I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. Last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you might say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty?
We have a good shepherd. He knows us. He loves us. He hears us speak. We hear him speak. We listen to his voice and we do it. That's good news. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you.
Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my Your majesty.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.